It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Hello, hello, welcome one and all. It is August 18th, 2021, and that means that it's...
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
That's correct.
Yep, it is Monday, August 18th. Wait, hold on. No, it's Wednesday. Sorry, I cannot tell time. It is Monday, Now I'm saying it again. It's Wednesday, August 18th, 2021, and it is 1900 UTC. Well, it's 1902 UTC, if we're being serious. Welcome. Hello to ARF20 and to everyone in the comm. Shout out to Tobe. Hints up, basically. I'm just rushing around. It's another work day. I had a lot of fun operating on the radio yesterday, and so I look forward to more operating today, tonight. So, anyway, I'm really getting into it. And that was me closing the door. I have some tea here, some green tea. It's very good. It was called Rising Phoenix Tea, which is a green tea from somewhere like the middle of China, mid area of China, I think. But it's really good. And even on like the third steeping here, still has that butteriness. Usually what I like green tea that's kind of buttery is the way to describe it. If you haven't had buttery green tea, you haven't had the right green tea. But anyway, it's just perfect. It's really good. Alrighty. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started on the news, onward with the news. And this will be kind of the way we always start. That's with the world news.
World news.
Alright. Not a lot of sad and upsetting stuff. Alright. Ethiopia. Several have been killed in Addis Ababa flash floods. Flash flooding kills at least 7 people in the Ethiopian capital after torrential rains. Images from the city on Wednesday showed firefighters wading through brown water to inspect flooded houses and in one instance walking through sludge with a stretcher to remove a body. Houses and cars were submerged by the waters after the downpour, which pelted several neighborhoods on Tuesday, causing chaos. The Addis Ababa Fire and Emergency Prevention and Rescue Commission said 7 people had died and that others were receiving treatment in hospital, according to state-affiliated Fana Broadcasting Corporate. Mayor Adeniji Abebe said on Twitter after visiting affected areas that there have been heavy damage caused by flooding, without elaborating. I urge our residents to take the necessary precautions in the area as heavy rains are expected in the coming days, and we will intensify our efforts to increase protection. So, gotta be careful out there. As the weather radio says out here in the United States, or at least in Texas, turn around, don't drown. Alright. And don't go to sleep near the river, I guess. Something cool, or a little uplifting, that I saw in the news that I wanted to mention was, I double-clicked on a link, gotta hit back. Female soldiers on the front line in northern Mozambique. You'll remember that there's been a lot of activity up that way. There's a bunch of natural gas. Well, a small contingent of female naval soldiers in the Rwanda Defense Force have been fighting alongside their male counterparts to push back against rebels allied with the Islamic State group in northern Mozambique. The rebels were occupying the strategic town of Mocimboa da Praia in Cabo Delgado province until a 1,000-strong Rwandan force was deployed there. They forced the rebels to withdraw into remote areas and break up into smaller groups. Lieutenant Yvonne Umwiza, who leads a Rwandan speedboat unit, said that women were treated no differently than men in the mixed units. There are no specific challenges here in Cabo Delgado for us female soldiers, she said. We face the same problems as the men, and we are very well trained to perform our duties. According to the UN World Food Program, nearly 1 million people are in urgent need of food aid as a consequence of the conflict. Hello, welcome, Nevin Rock. Welcome, welcome. Yeah, so very interesting, and I thought that was really cool. I always like to see equality anywhere, and in armed services, that's pretty cool. Speaking of equality, in China, Chinese president vows to adjust excessive incomes of super rich. Something I'm okay with, I think. Let's see what they're proposing. China's president has vowed to adjust excessive incomes in a warning to the country's super rich that the state plans to redistribute wealth to tackle widening inequality. According to reports in state media, Xi Jinping told officials at a meeting of the Chinese Communist Party's Central Financial and Economic Affairs Commission on Tuesday that the government should regulate excessively high incomes and encourage high-income groups and enterprises to return more to society. The commission said it would pursue its common prosperity agenda, which had become the main focus of China's policymaking after reports of discontent within the party's central committee over the rise of a new class of wealthy entrepreneurs. Policy's goal comes amid a sweeping push by Beijing to rein in the country's largest private firms and industries, ranging from technology to education. Analysts said it was notable that the gaming and social media firm Tencent, one of China's biggest tech groups, said it would expand its social commitments as it reported a jump in second quarter profit. Chief Executive Pony Ma said the company was in business to help wider society by deploying our technologies and expertise to help small and medium-sized businesses, public services, and corporations collaborate internally and connect with their users externally. Hey, welcome, welcome, Publius. I've got a story that you might like coming up in a little bit. So anyway, this is going on in China. We'll see what happens. I definitely think income disparity is a big problem domestically, too. So, some more good news. 16 people have been pulled alive from a Haitian peacekeeping building 3 days after the earthquake. At least 16 people were pulled out alive from under debris in a Haitian town 3 days after the 7.2 magnitude earthquake struck the Caribbean country over the weekend. The rescuers also pulled out 9 bodies from the same rubble during the operation at... This is worded funny. During the operation at In Brefet, a town in Le Caius, and that's Brefet is the town, and a town in Le Caius, Lescayes, Les Caius. More than 1,900 people have died and 9,900 were injured after the quake. The now collapsed structure was previously functional and served as the regional office of a United Nations peacekeeping mission for stability in the region. The UN Stabilization Mission in Haiti, codenamed MINUSTA, MINUSTAH, started in 2004 and lasted until 2017. So, hello, hello, SMJ. Thank you for tuning in. Yeah, this is very interesting. I think you know why, Tobe? If you think about Haiti and the Dominican Republic, if Haiti is the right-hand side and Dominica is the left-hand side, it was on the very edge of the right-hand side. Like, there's a little gulf. There's a little peninsula kind of sticking out thing. And the earthquake happened off of the edge of that earthquake. So it went around for several miles, but it only messed up Haiti. I don't know if I'm visually describing that well. But anyway, yeah, it stinks because Haiti is really in trouble. Speaking of people in trouble, thousands are fleeing ethnic clashes from Cameroon to Chad. At least 10,000 people, mostly women and children, have fled into Chad from northern Cameroon this week after deadly clashes between herding and fishing communities. 12 people were killed and dozens wounded in the violence, which erupted Tuesday in the far northern region. A tongue of land wedged between Nigeria to the west and Chad to the east. It sounds suggestive. Hey, welcome back, W. Visser. Long time no see. The pressing needs are for health services, shelter, and food, said Iris Blom, the United Nations Refugee Agency's deputy director in Chad. She said 85% of the refugees who fled to Ondoma, south of the Chadian capital of N'Djamena, were women and children. The fighting in Cameroon began when Muslims built dams to divert water to help them catch fish in a location where ethnic Arab koa herders also take their cattle for watering, according to regional governor Midjijoiwa Bakari. Clashes between ethnic groups are rare in Cameroon, but frequent in Chad and Nigeria, particularly between sedentary farmers and semi-nomadic herders. Yeah, Chadian is kind of an interesting, fun way to word. I like it. Clashes. In Chad, the local governor said authorities were moving to ensure the conflict doesn't spill across the border from Cameroon. So we will see what happens. Fortunately, it doesn't seem like it's going to turn into a broader conflict, at least not yet. And a second... Hey, welcome, X1. Welcome, welcome. And learning. Thank you guys for tuning in. Sedentary farmer, I think they just mean that if you're a farmer, you're in a fixed spot and you farm the same field over and over again. But if you're a herder or you have animals, you probably just run around and herd people. So, or you just, not people, but you go around and you herd folks. So, that's what I was trying to say. I wanted to, let's do this. I validate you, SMJ. You are real. Cool. Thanks so much, guys. Let's keep rolling. A second case of Ebola has shown up in the Ivory Coast. So the UN Health Agency said Tuesday that a second suspected case of the infection has been detected. World Health Organization spokesman Tarek Jaserevic said that as of Monday, there had been one confirmed case and one suspected case, with 9 contacts identified so far. No deaths have been reported. He said the WHO, or World Health Organization, was very concerned about the ability of the virus to spread in the West African country's economic hub of Abidjan, with a population of more than 4 million. Ebola is transmitted through close contact with bodily fluid and causes severe fever and, in worst cases, unstoppable bleeding. The confirmed case has been identified as an 18-year-old from Guinea who traveled overland, arriving in Abidjan last Wednesday aboard a bus. When she left Guinea, she was already exhibiting symptoms that continued to intensify. She was admitted to hospital on Thursday with a fever and is currently receiving treatment. So, hello, Robert588. Very intense stuff going on. Ebola is scary stuff. So I'm glad that they are working against it already. So we talked about validating stuff. In a non-radio parlance, whenever you sign up for an account, you sign up. But then to get access to extra stuff, you need to be validated. Either somebody who's already a member can validate you, or you send like $1 to SDF and then they validate you. Well, check this out. Invalid COVID certificates. There's a black market for fake COVID health passes and it's flourishing in France. People refusing to get COVID vaccines in France are coughing up hundreds of euros for fake health passes in an online black market that has flourished since the government required them to enter cafes, inner city trains, and other public places. People have had to show proof they've either been vaccinated, tested negative for COVID, or have recovered from the disease in order to enter a museum, cinema, or sports venue since July. It was expanded to restaurants, bars, hospitals, and trains earlier this month as President Emmanuel Macron seeks to compel people to get vaccinated. While surveys show most French support the measure, opponents have held protests for 5 straight weekends, and a black market for fraudulent health passes has sprung up on Snapchat, of all places, despite the risk of jail sentences. Accounts on the social networking app that rarely last for more than a few days openly advertise their counterfeit documents. Some ads say, your health pass by email in 8 to 10 hours maximum. Vaccination is optional thanks to our service, or say no to the vaccine and get a health pass without getting vaccinated. The 28-year-old event planner told AFP he obtained his fake health pass for 350 euros, that's $410. COVID-19 vaccine is free in France. He said he isn't vaccine, but he doesn't feel that young people should be forced to get vaccinated when he believes they aren't particularly vulnerable. If COVID-19 still exists when I'm 50 or 60, then yes, I'll get vaccinated, he said, speaking on condition of anonymity. So, very, very wild. The National Health System says it's received a growing number of queries from police investigating fraudsters, said it made 30 criminal complaints and tips to police about suspicious behavior. The counterfeiters face prison terms up to 5 years and fines up to 150,000 euros. Those who use fake health passes could spend 3 years behind bars. So, yeah. Yeah, so it's very wild stuff. I send all the information. Oh, here's what happens. Check this out. This is how it works, Nevin Rutt. This was a question in Com. And this is why just printing them out. In the U.S., you could just print them out because there's no central registry. But in France, one has to provide all the basic information necessary to have a real functioning health pass, including a French health system number. And like, here's the quote. I sent all the information to my doctor, who registers it in the French National Health System database and the phone app for the health pass. As a health worker, some complicit, others hacked, enters the information to the computer system, the person is considered by authorities to have been fully vaccinated, and the health pass itself is a real one, not fake. So that's really what you're doing, is you're paying somebody to enter your information into this main central system without actually giving you the vaccine. So, but yeah. In the United States, you could totally have a fake one. A lot of places, you can't get forced to show one. There's one comedy club that I like to go to that requires it. Like, now they require you to show your vaccination card if you want to get in. But they don't have a liquor license or really any other state licenses. I think the only thing they have is a business license from the city. So that's how they get around it. Anyway. Thank you, Rich. All right, well, let's keep on a rolling. Oh, shucks. What is going on?
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Oh, man. There's so much news. I got caught up, and I almost missed out on our music cue. What? That wouldn't be any fun. But we got to. We got to, because sometimes you just get so fed up. What is it? What's that song called? Hold on. I've got the lyrics in my head. It is from,
I forgot the band name, so now I can't get the song pulled up. Anyway, I'm just gonna go ahead and play a different song. Operation Phoenix. All right. Here's a song called Shit Talking Capitalists from Good Riddance.
Listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. Anon Radio is celebrating its 25th year in existence, which is pretty exciting. Definitely something that a little experiment lasted a lot longer than you might have thought. So anyway, just big happy celebrations. The mailing list says there will be a commemorative sticker available at some point on the store, SDF store, I'm guessing. So keep an eye out for that. It'll be fun. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that. And also, we got to say, stick around. at the bottom of the hour, or in 9 minutes or so, we've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, which is a fun show, definitely worth checking out. And after that, we've got Zeptar on the schedule, but I don't think anybody's seen or heard from Zeptar in a little bit. Wherever you are, DJ Zep, we're thinking about you. So definitely just howdy howdy. You can always check out anonradio.net for the full schedule, or if you're in comm, press the equal sign and you'll get a text version of the of what's going on. I'm not sure I'm following comm right now. Oh, cool. Mailing list. I'll be interested to see that later. All right. Let's go ahead and jump on over and finish the news. We've got some stuff from Afghanistan to talk about and some other African news. So this is the speeding up round because, you know, that's just what we got to do sometimes. All right. Health activists in Africa have slammed Johnson & Johnson for exporting vaccines produced in South Africa to countries in Europe, which have already immunized large numbers of their people and have even donated vaccines to more needy countries. This is similar to the problem that India had whenever vaccines were being exported there. The one-dose J&J vaccines were exported from South Africa, where they've been assembled, despite the pressing need for vaccines across Africa, where less than 3% of the continent's 1.3 billion people have been fully vaccinated. So take that and link that to the song if you want. But yeah, that's something happening there. The Polish army has been deployed to Belarus border amid migrant surge. Poland has deployed hundreds of troops to support its border guards at the frontier with Belarus as a surge of refugees and migrants sought to enter the country. Defense Minister Maurice Blazak said on Wednesday that more than 900 Polish troops were involved in the operation. I'll go ahead and put the name in comm, that way if you missed it, you'll get it. Because it's Polish and it has some Z's in it, I'm not sure. In Texas, we would say Marius Blazak, but not sure. And we'll figure out how to validate your learning, don't worry. But tune in, anonradio.net. It's understood that most of the refugees and migrants trying to cross are from Iraq. Late on Tuesday, a Polish deputy interior minister tweeted that the border with Belarus is sealed and that the soldiers have been there for a week. So Poland, like Lithuania and other Baltic nations, accuses the authoritarian government of Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko of sending people across their border. They believe Minsk's moves are retaliatory. You can read more about that over at aljazeera.com. The Taliban, according to a Guardian report, Taliban in power may find themselves fighting their own insurgents. Ooh, mint? You want to start minting coins, Publius? I'd be interested to hear about that. Joe Biden has said the U.S. will maintain an over-the-horizon counterterrorism capability to neutralize the threat posed by Islamic extremist groups in Afghanistan. With no troops on the ground, no intelligence-gathering operation in the country, and no ally with shared borders, this kind of long-range effort to stop plots targeting the West will not be easy. I don't know if you can hear it. Somebody started broadcasting some CW on my frequency I was monitoring. All right. Just jump over here. With no troops on the ground. So anyway, basically what's going on is Al-Qaeda was forced to flee Afghanistan after the war of 2001, but slowly returned. It doesn't have anywhere near the extensive infrastructure of 20 years ago. Instead, its 200 to 500 fighters are dispersed across much of the country. Many are from Al-Qaeda in South Asia, an affiliate set up with Pakistan, India, and Bangladesh recruits in 2014. Others have been fighting alongside the Taliban, with whom they have close relations. So, perhaps the ugliest character in the Star Wars... What? How is this in the news? Perhaps the ugliest character in the Star Wars bar for extremists that Afghanistan has become is Islamic State's Khorasan province. Anybody knows what's going on? Anyway, sorry, I've lost the plot on that one. You can go to theguardian.com if you wanted to read that story. It didn't make sense to me. I may not have had enough tea. Speaking of which. Ooh, I like an idea of a 17-sided coin with a square hole. All right, India's midnight evacuation from Afghanistan, escorted by the Taliban. What? Outside the main iron gate of the Indian embassy in Kabul, a group of Taliban fighters waited, armed with machine guns and rocket-propelled grenade launchers. Inside the compound were 150 Indian diplomats and nationals, growing increasingly nervous as they watched news of the Taliban tightening their grip on the capital. Their position was a precarious one. Pakistan has long been the Taliban's greatest supporter, using the country for so-called strategic depth and never-ending battles, real and diplomatic, with arch-rival India. India, in turn, strongly backed the government that took over when the Taliban was removed, earning them hatred and enmity from the hardline group. But the Taliban fighters outside the Indian embassy were not there to extract revenge, but rather to escort them to Kabul airport, where a military aircraft was on standby to evacuate them after New Delhi decided to shut its mission. At the first, merely 24 vehicles drove out of the embassy late on Monday. Some of the fighters waved and smiled at the passengers, an AFP news agency correspondent among them. One guided them towards the street leading out of the city's green zone and onto the main road of the airport. So, very interesting time. We're gonna run out of time, so we're just gonna do briefer. Gotta speed it up. One day, there's just too much news today. Afghanistan's President Ashraf Ghani is confirmed to be in the UAE. Afghan girls are returning to school in Herat after a Taliban takeover. Taliban spokesman Zabula Mujahid, says the group is committed to letting women work in accordance with the principles of Islam. So that should be good. U.S. plans to offer booster shots of COVID in September. As we mentioned, millions of people still not even having the first shot. If you go to The Guardian, there is an article called Illinois City Reparations Plan was heralded, but locals say it's a cautionary tale. It's a short read, but it's really good, letting us know, hey, the original plan has been attacked on all sides by politicians, and so now what originally sounded like a really good chance at paying back and setting up some reparations has dwindled to, like, up to $20,000 housing voucher, and the fund only could do that for 4 people. So it's like a joke, basically. So check that out. Cuba's tightened control of the internet after more protests broke out. And this story, I got to tell you about it. A U.S. science institute is on the verge of achieving a long-standing goal in nuclear fusion research. The National Ignition Facility uses a powerful laser to heat and compress hydrogen fuel, initiating fusion. An experiment suggests the goal of ignition, where the energy released by fusion exceeds that delivered by the laser, is now within touching distance. Harnessing fusion, the process that powers the sun, could provide a limitless clean energy source. In a process called inertial confinement fusion, 192 beams from NIF's laser, the highest energy example in the world, are directed towards a peppercorn-sized capsule containing deuterium and tritium, which are different forms of the element hydrogen. This compresses a fuel to 100 times the density of lead and heats it to 100 million degrees Celsius, hotter than the center of the sun. These conditions help kickstart thermonuclear fusion. An experiment carried out on August 8 yielded 1.35 megajoules of energy. Around 70% of the energy delivered to the fuel capsule. Reaching ignition means getting a fusion yield that's greater than the 1.9 megajoules put in by the laser. This is a huge advancement of fusion, and for the entire fusion community, Debbie Callahan, a physicist at the Lawrence Livermore National
7.